And as we've heard, there are roughly 800,000 DACA recipients across the U.S., and CityLab recently took a look at where they are and how they impact those states' economies. With me to talk about that is CityLab staff writer Tanvi Misra. Tanvi, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So it looks like, and maybe this isn't a surprise, but two of the bigger states as far as the percentage of the share of DACA recipients, California just under 30% and Texas at about 14%. Two very different states, both demographically and politically. Is there anything that we can draw from the fact that there are so many DACA recipients in those two very different states?
I think that's just a function of the fact that these are states that have a large number, just a lot of immigration in general. And so, you know, it's understandable that the subset of immigrants that are DACA eligible would also be larger in these two states. I think that, you know, you have to consider the fact that they're very near to the U.S.-Mexico border. They have various cities that are lucrative in terms of job opportunities for immigrants of all sort of backgrounds, right? So I think that those are some of the reasons why these two states in particular have such large concentrations of DACA-eligible folks.
Here in Arizona, the state shares about 3%, and we've been talking about a little more than 20,000 DACA recipients in Arizona. Is it in any way, when I saw that number personally, I was a little bit surprised. As you say, states along the border with large immigrant populations, Arizona certainly falls into that category, yet only 3% of the total U.S. share of DACA recipients is in Arizona. Is that a surprise to anybody other than me, maybe?
That was a surprise to me as well. I am not entirely sure what the various forces are behind that number. Possible explanation could be the laws that Arizona has on the books. Arizona in general and Maricopa County, which where actually if you kind of zoom in, that's where the concentration still is of DACA recipients. That's where sort of the harshest, strictest immigration laws have, been put in place. So, and immigration enforcement has been taking place. So that might be one explanation for that number. Although I can't say it's the only one.
Tanvi, what have you found as far as the effect on GDP, the effect on just in general states' economies of having these DACA recipients here? And is it fair to extrapolate what might happen if some of those recipients have to leave?
There have been various sort of estimates that have been out there. The one that I wrote about in my piece is by the Center for American Progress. And they estimate that over the next decade, around $460 billion will be lost in national GDP. And, you know, what they're doing is basically they're estimating the total number of, DACA recipients who can work, who are workers, who are part of the labor force, and just taking them out and, you know, sort of assuming that they are very similar to other workers in the labor force in terms of skills distribution, et cetera. And when they do that, that's what they get. They get that this is going to definitely have an impact on the national economy. Obviously, this is just one impact. They do not mention sort of things that could offset that. It's just sort of one indication. And then they break that down by state. So obviously, you know, it would follow that the states that have larger proportions of DACA DACA workers would have, you know, sort of larger negative impacts to their economy if those workers are no longer authorized to work. And, you know, they're sort of if they lose their job or are taken away from that. So that's what, you know, the top two leading that list are, as you may have imagined, California and Texas, two states with, you know, the largest populations of DACA workers.
Tanvi Misra is a staff writer at CityLab. We'll post a link to the piece she wrote about this at theshow.kjzz.org. Tanvi, thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks for having me. Bye.